Well, how many of you have ever had someone tell you, you know what, you need to grow up? Anybody ever have that said before? Yeah, some of you young people are saying, yeah, I still hear it. Just heard it this morning. No. And when we've heard that, maybe someone has told us that, it probably wasn't in the spiritual sense. But it may be because maybe we played a practical joke on somebody, right? Or maybe, you know, we still find ourselves chuckling at those noises, you know, those noises that little boys like to chuckle at, and even some little girls, yeah. And so people may look at us and say, you know what, you need to grow up. You need to stop being so childish. Well, today we're going to talk about growing up, not in that kind of way, but in the spiritual way. So if you take your Bible and open to 1 Peter chapter 2, if you need a Bible, there are some under the chairs in front of you. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll be looking at verses 2 and 3 this morning. So when we ask the question, what does it look like to grow up spiritually? We find some good insight here from the Apostle Peter in this reading today. Peter says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. And before we dig into this passage, some of you may be thinking as you hear these words, now wait a minute, doesn't the Bible also say that we should get off the milk and get onto meat? Doesn't it say that somewhere? And if it does say that, then does that mean that there's a contradiction in the Bible? Well, the answer is yes, the Bible does say that we're to get off the milk. But no, that does not mean that there is a contradiction, because we're going to get into that passage. Let's look at that. It's in Hebrews chapter 5. There's another passage that speaks of milk. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. Let's look at that. After talking about the perfection of Christ, how Jesus is our great high priest, the writer would go on to say, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are so slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Now, though this passage doesn't use the word meat, we see that it does refer to solid food. And it's so in that way that we often speak of this passage as saying that we need to get off the milk and get onto the solid food, onto the meat. So what is being said here in this passage? Well, as with all of Scripture, it's important that we understand the context of the passage that we've just read. And if you know the context of the book of Hebrews, if you've been in Sunday school, you'll know what Hebrews is all about. We just went through the book of Hebrews. But the book of Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians, those who were born Jewish, but they had come to faith in Jesus and embraced him as the Messiah. But these believers were very discouraged. They were very disheartened in their faith. And so some of them may have been thinking this, you know what, I think it's time we just throw in the towel on this whole Jesus thing. You know what? Life was much simpler and easier under the old covenant. You know, we had our rituals, we had our ceremonies, we had our traditions. We knew what to do. We didn't have to worry about walking by faith. It was just all by sight. It was good. In fact, we didn't have all the persecution and trouble that we now have. Maybe it'd be better if we go back to the old days. This is kind of the setting or the context of the book of Hebrews and what is being written here. And so the writer of Hebrews belabors the point that as believers, our lives need to be rooted in Christ. That Christ is supreme. Christ is God on the throne in Hebrews chapter 1. that Christ is greater than all the angels, that Christ is greater than Moses, and that the sacrifice of Christ was greater than any other sacrifice ever performed by any of the Jewish priests. Why? Because they would offer animals as a sacrifice for sin, but Jesus offered himself. He offered his own body. He says, "Here I am, I've come to do your will." And his body was sinless. He was without sin when he gave that perfect sacrifice. It was a once and for all sacrifice, one and done. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying this to the believers: you guys need to go back to basic training. It's like if you've been in the army for 10 years and you've forgotten everything they taught you in boot camp. This is what the writer is saying. It's like you need to go back and learn Christianity 101 all over again. You need that. That's the milk that's being spoken of here. Really, the, quote, basics of Christianity. And yes, they were to get off that milk, right? Just like as babies, they start off on milk and then they move up to the Gerber, right? The baby food. You remember I used to eat my sister's. It was so good. The peach was really good. The peach baby food was good. But you go on to the baby food and eventually you get to the solid stuff, the good meat and potatoes, the steak and all that good stuff. You work your way up. How is that different than what Peter is saying in this passage that we just read? Well, the milk that Peter is talking about is not the, quote, basics of Christianity, but he's talking about the Word of God in general, that you need to crave the Word of God. This is milk for your soul. This is what you need to satisfy you. And as we look at the context of 1 Peter, what had Peter just been talking about? Let me read back in chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. Peter said, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever." And this is the word that was preached to you. Then he would go on to say, "Therefore, crave this pure spiritual milk." And so there's a difference between what Peter is saying and the writer of Hebrews. Well, today the main question we want to look at is this: how? How are we to drink this milk? How are we to consume the word? Well, Peter gives the analogy of a newborn baby to help us understand how to do this. And so first off, we see that newborn babies, they crave milk. They desire it. They long for it. If you're a parent, how many of you can remember? I don't think anyone here has a newborn. I look around. No. But as you think back to when you had a child, how many of you can remember at about, say 2 in the morning, hearing this noise? Wah! 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 Right? You got them down, and before you know it, they're crying again. Why? Because a newborn baby drinks, what, about every 4 hours or so, I think it is. They're just ready for more. They want more. They want more and more and more. Well, imagine if we had that same desire for the Word of God. You know, we only get about a few hours and we're like, we got to have more of this. I need to have more of the Word of God in my life. The psalmist speaks of this craving and desire as well in Psalm 42, verse 1. Let's look at that. We just sang about it, but it says this: "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants after you, O God." So often you'll find deer residing near lakes or rivers or streams. Or around us we have a creek and we have a canal, and there are often deer that will hang out in this area. And if they live far away, what do they have to do? They have to run a long way to get to that water. And when they finally get there, they're panting because they just long for that water. And so the psalmist says, in the same way, long or pant for God. Let me ask you a few questions today. Do you pant for God? Do you long for Him? Do you long for His Word? Do you crave His Word? Or are you sipping on so many worldly things that you've lost your desire for God? Sometimes we need to take inventory of what we're drinking. And I don't mean, you know, how much Mountain Dew we're drinking, but spiritually, what are we taking in? What are we drinking? How is our spiritual appetite? Do we just take one sip on a Sunday morning and then nothing till next Sunday? Or do we take something in each and every day? Number two is this. We know that the Word of God is pure. Peter says, pure spiritual milk. The Word of God has a purifying effect on our lives. Why do so many people not want to open the Word and not want to look at it? Because I believe in their conscience, they know that there'll be some conviction, there'll be some truth, some righteousness and holiness that they don't want, so they'll push it away. But if we take it in and we say, God, I want it, it has the power to really transform our lives and to bring purity into our lives. It's interesting that Peter, when he talked about loving the brothers, he said, make sure you do this. Love each other with a pure heart. And the way we can have pure hearts is by abiding in the pure Word of God. Let's look at what Psalm 12, verse 6 says about the purity of the Word of God. This is David, and he says, and the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified seven times. Well, here David is speaking of how silver used to be purified back in the day. And they would put it on heat would be applied to it, and the impurities would rise to the surface. And as those impurities would come to the top, they would scrape off the impurities. And so when David thought about the Word of God, he says, hey, this is how I can explain it to you. It's like some silver that has been purified not once, but seven times. It's gone through the purification process. And so there's just no more impurities left. It's untainted. Now, certainly the Word of God didn't need to be purified because it came from God. It is pure. But this is just an analogy that David gives. When he says, this is how you need to view the Word of God, as pure, as untainted. It's spotless. It's trustworthy. And so Peter here speaks of pure spiritual milk. Now in our day, you could say our milk isn't totally pure, right? In fact, if you're into healthy food and there's an argument about whether to drink, you know, like raw milk or homogenized, is that it, and pasteurized, and the pros and cons of that, and whether you should have growth hormones, right, in your milk. You ever buy a gallon of milk now and you got a big label on there? Have you seen it? And they say no growth hormones, right, to these cows. And then there's a little star down there and it says, FDA says there's really no difference between a cow and that's had hormones and hasn't had hormones. But you trust the FDA, right? But just kidding. But anyway, the milk isn't really totally pure when you think of it that way. How many of you grew up drinking milk out of a bottle? You probably may not remember, but I think back, most of us probably, that's what Mom did. Right? She put the pan on the water on the stove, right? Heated it up, and then stuck that bottle on there, and then got it nice and warm, and she, I don't know if your mother did this, she put it on her wrist and make sure it wasn't too hot, and then here you go, Sonny, there's your bottle, right? Today, what else is there? There's formula, right? Formula. Some people feed formula to their newborn babies. And there's minerals and vitamins and different things, right, that they'll add into the formula to make it healthy for the child. But tell me, what's the best? What's the best milk for a baby? Mama's milk, right? Right? Mama's milk. You could say mama's milk is pure. There's really no substitute. And I think even as you listen to the medical field, they'll say there's so many benefits to going that way, drinking milk right from the mother there. Now, if you happen to use formula, I'm not condemning that in any way, but there's just something pure about a mother's milk. And so too, we need to see the Word of God as something that is absolutely pure and flawless. It is the Word of God that will have a purifying effect on your soul. It is the Word of God that will help you to avoid certain sins. Remember, if you were here last week, remember what Peter said? Chapter 2, verse 1, he said, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind." How can we avoid those things? By allowing the Word of God to purify our lives, to not just hear the Word, but to do the Word, to apply it to our own lives. Well, thirdly, third thing we can learn from this passage is that we need to depend upon it. When you think about a newborn baby and they're drinking milk, let's suppose you have a baby and they start getting hungry and you're at dinner. You just can't like cut up a piece of steak and say, "Here you go, kiddo, just go ahead and drink that." If they're a newborn, they can't take it in, can they? They're not mature enough. They can't swallow it. They can't digest it. They have to have milk. They need milk to survive. And so there's a dependency that a newborn baby has on milk. So too, we need to have the same dependency upon the Word of God in our lives. And in our culture, I think one of the things that we need to be careful of as Christians is we can take the Word of God for granted. Because how many of you have 3 or 4 Bibles at home on your bookshelf, right? How many of you can just turn on the TV or turn on the radio and listen to people preach the Word of God and teach the Word of God? How many of you on your Facebook feeds may find scripture verses come through that way? You can go on the internet and listen to a gazillion messages, can't you, about God's Word. And so we're really inundated when you think about it. We've got t-shirts with scripture on it. We've got bracelets, hats, tattoos, everything with scripture on it. And sometimes because it's so prevalent in our day, we can take it for granted. Have you ever seen, I know I've seen a video before of people in a different land, a different culture. And it's a land where the Bible is very hard to come by. Maybe even it's illegal for them to have a Bible. There's oppression in their culture. And yet along comes this big box. And guess what it's filled with? It's filled with Bibles. And you'll watch the expression of these individuals as they get to hold a Bible in their own language. And these people are weeping. They're falling to the ground. They're just crying out and praising God that they have His Word. Oh God, help us never to have a ho-hum attitude about the Word of God, about having the Scriptures. Because the Scriptures reveal Christ. They show us salvation. And Peter says, you now need to grow up in that salvation. And you do it by craving the Word of God, by desiring it. Listen to what Job had to say about the Word of God, or words from God. Job 23:12. Job says, excuse me, "I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread." Job saw the words of God as precious, as a treasure, something that he needed even more than his daily bread. How long can you survive without daily bread? Not too long, right? The final thing I want to look at today is from verse 3. Back in 1 Peter, Peter says, "Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." Psalm 34 says that we need to taste and see that the Lord is good. And here Peter talks about this as well. Peter had already reminded these people of their past. They had been born again. They had these new natures. They had tasted that the Lord was indeed good. And so he says, now grow up in that taste, if you will. Crave more and more of it. Just like a newborn baby, once they get that first drop of milk upon their tongue, once they taste it, what do they want? They just want more and more of it, don't they? And though we may not be able to remember what it was like to be a newborn baby craving milk, we all know what it was like to taste something for the first time and then want more and more of it. Why do companies spend millions of dollars on advertising, right? So that maybe you'll try or taste this product, right? So just you'll get a taste of it. And once you have that taste, you'll want more and more. Some of you may remember back in the day, there were actually commercials for cigarettes. Anybody remember that? Yeah. And there was the cool guy with the cowboy hat on. And he had the cigarette out of his mouth. He had the fancy lighter. And there were horses jumping through the water. And it was like, this is freedom right here. This is awesome. This is Marlboro country is what it was. Why? Because they just wanted people to get a taste of that. And if they got a taste, they'd want more and more and more. And obviously today, with the way things are, commercials are a lot different, aren't they, concerning that. But it was just to get you to taste it. It could even be a lawnmower, right, Jeff? Right? You've tasted what a zero-turn mower is on your yard. Have you? Now it's only been once, right? Just once. But he's got the taste. He wants more of that. He just wants a little more of that. That zero-turn. Once you get it, you're gonna want more of it. Well, this is how we should be desiring more and more of God, more and more of His Word. Because if you're in Christ, you've tasted it. You have. You know the goodness of God's Word. You know the truth of God's Word. The Holy Spirit is revealed to you. This is of God. This is life-sustaining. This is how you grow to become more like Jesus. Have you tasted that? If you have, then desire more and more of it. Long for more and more of it. That is my prayer for you. But perhaps today you're here and you have never tasted that the Lord is good. You may say, well, yeah, you know, my life is pretty good. Got a nice car, a nice home. You know, things are decent. Yeah, God is good. I'm not talking about that kind of goodness, because the Bible says that God blesses the righteous and the unrighteous. The rain falls on the good and the evil. I'm talking about, have you tasted the mercy and the grace of Almighty God? Have you tasted the grace and mercy that comes through the person of Jesus Christ? Because what Jesus has done for us is He's gone to the cross. You see, I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And because God is holy and God is good and God is just, He has to punish sin. He has to do something. Just like a good judge would punish that one who's guilty of a crime, so too a good God punishes sin. And so what are we to do? If I'm guilty of my own sin against God, what's the solution? Well, the solution is to turn to Christ. Because on the cross, Christ, the Bible says, bore the wrath of God. He bore my sin in His body on the tree. He took it for me so that I could be forgiven, I could be set free. And He's done it for you as well. You can be forgiven. You can be set free. You can taste that the Lord is good. There's mercy in God. There's forgiveness in God. But it's only through Christ. And so today, if you have never bowed your heart to Jesus, if you've never surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, then today I would beg of you that you do that. He is God, He is King, and He commands people everywhere to repent, to turn to Him and embrace Him as their Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today for Your word. God, I thank You for Your truth. Father, we thank You that You have made a way for us to be forgiven, a way for us to experience mercy and grace, and that's through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, thank You for Your willingness to go to the cross. Thank You for bearing the weight and the punishment of my sin. Thank You for giving me new life. And God, I pray for each of us here today that we would crave You just like that newborn baby who is focused on one thing, and that is getting more milk and being satisfied by that milk and then wanting more and being satisfied and wanting more and more. Lord, help us to have that heart. Lord, I pray Your grace would just abound in all of our lives, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.